Okay, I want you to turn to Daniel chapter 1. I want you to hold your finger there. I want you to turn to Leviticus chapter 26 and put a marker there. And then we'll be turning to Deuteronomy 28. And then I don't want you trying to flip through and follow me everywhere else. I want you to just hold those three. We'll read those. And then we will move on. And I will be reading other scriptures. But I want you to listen to what I'm saying. I don't want you to be distracted. Daniel, Hananiah, Azariah, and Mishael were carried to Babylon about 605 BC with the first deportation from Jerusalem. And this is when the captivity began, even though Jerusalem was not destroyed until about 586 BC. Daniel is seen still writing visions in the third year of Cyrus of Persia, about 537 BC, about 68 years later. And the group under Ezra, if you know, came, the decree was given, and they began to prepare to go back to Jerusalem in the first year of Cyrus. Daniel was still writing his visions in the third year of Cyrus. And so Daniel saw the entire captivity as far as we understand it. Daniel went to Babylon. He saw the end of the Babylonian Empire, the beginning of the Medo-Persian Empire, and he was there through the whole thing. He was there in Babylon 19 years before Jerusalem was destroyed and the temple was destroyed. He heard and knew about the prophecies of Jeremiah. Daniel was a very powerful influence and a vessel of God to protect the people of Israel in the captivity. God was monitoring this whole thing, and Daniel was in a key place, and Daniel, Hananiah, Azariah, and Mishael, better known as Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, were there, and they were key players for God to monitor his people and protect his people and only allow what he wanted to allow. Daniel was a very bright and shining light. What was the secret of Daniel rising to the top in Babylon? Do you think Daniel would have been there in such a powerful position, rising to the top, being such a key player, if he had been an average, run-of-the-mill, mediocre Israelite, lacking fervor, zeal, and passion for God and his law? I don't think so. If you turn to in Daniel chapter 1, verse 20 there, the king brought these young men, put them through a time of testing, and then he brought them before the king. And in all matters of wisdom and understanding, it says that the king inquired of them. He found them, Daniel, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, 10 times better than all the magicians and astrologers that were in his realm. Daniel, Hananiah, Azariah, and Mishael scored 10 times better on their examinations. They had a better understanding, a better IQ, better common sense. They were better in spirit, demeanor, attitude, better in educational advances, language studies, and the sciences, and all the things that he inquired of them. And everywhere that he tested them and tried them, he found them 10 times better. Now, I want to tell you something this morning. We're not reading, as we often do, God's evaluation of his people. We're reading the king's evaluation of these young men. We're reading the Babylonians' evaluation of these young men. This isn't God's attitude towards these young men. It's man's attitude towards these young men. We can sometimes pat ourselves on the back and talk about how much better we are, and we think we're better, but does the world see us as 10 times better is a different issue. You can sit there and evaluate yourself and think of how much better you are, but when the world looks on you, when the Chaldeans look at you, when the Babylonians look at your family, what do they see? Well, Daniel, he succeeded not only in Jerusalem. Okay, he wasn't 10 times better as a Jew. I'm saying he was, but I'm talking about in Babylon. His quality of being 10 times better was not, well, you succeeded in your own things. No, he had to succeed in the Chaldean things. He had to succeed in the Babylonian world. He had to succeed in their sciences, in their language, in their questions. He wasn't just succeeding in his own little Judaism, okay? He could not be the powerful player for God in Babylon if he could not be 10 times better than the Babylonians in Babylon. Okay? We're heading somewhere. I want you to stick with me. If we are going to make a difference, and if we are going to make an impact, we have to think about this. Daniel was 10 times better in Babylon because he was first 10 times better back home. I brought that up in a message one time. I had a message about Daniel in his youth and at home, and then Daniel when he was carried away, and Daniel in Babylon, and someone afterwards came up and challenged me, said, how do you know how Daniel was back home? Well, it doesn't take a rocket scientist. There's two things. Number one, this type of character, this type of blessing of God, this type of situation doesn't come overnight, okay? If you go back up and you look there in Daniel, looking for the verse here. It says that, verse 17, as for these four children, God gave them knowledge and skill in all learning and wisdom. Okay? So, understand, first of all, it doesn't happen overnight. It was something God did. They didn't come up with this on their own. It wasn't because they stayed up later and studied, although that was a part of it. Okay? There was a secret. There was something else, and that something else demands that Daniel, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego were also faithful back home. Daniel's case was not meant to be an isolated case. It was meant to be the norm. God wanted all of his people. If all of his people had been like Daniel, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, they wouldn't have got carried away. But when they got carried away, God wanted every faithful Israelite to be 10 times better than the pagans around them. Number one, it doesn't happen overnight. You can't pull it out of your pocket in a crisis. You can't fake it. You can't suddenly be thrown into the world and say, well, I'm a Christian, I got to be 10 times better, and your boss is going to notice it, and the workers are going to notice it, and everybody's going to see it. If you haven't already practiced it, if it's not already there, you're not going to pull it out of a hat. Okay? Number two, there's only one way to get to that place. And where it said there, God gave them knowledge and skill. God gave them knowledge and skill. God made Daniel, Hananiah, Azariah, and Mishael 10 times better. Now, was that isolated to Daniel? Was that something, well, we can really admire Daniel for that. Would be nice if we had some more Daniels around. Turn to Leviticus 26. I told you to hold your finger there. So, is there a path? Okay, I want to present to you this morning that God wants this to be the norm. This was not meant to be an isolated case. In fact, I believe that God has demonstrated to us throughout the Word of God that He wants His people to be on a higher plane than all the world around us. And that's how He hopes to win the world. That's how He hopes to influence the world. That's how He hopes to demonstrate the glory of His ways. That's how He hopes to demonstrate the rightness of His laws, because God's laws are connected to God. And when you obey God's laws, you have God's blessing. And God wants it that way to show the glory of His laws. Leviticus 26. You shall make you no idols, nor graven image, neither rear you up a standing image, neither shall you set up any image of stone in your land to bow down unto it. For I am the Lord your God. You shall keep my Sabbaths and reverence my sanctuary. I am the Lord. If ye walk in my statutes and keep my commandments and do them, then I will give you rain in due season, and the land shall yield her increase, and the trees of the field shall yield their fruit, and your threshing shall reach unto the vintage, and the vintage shall reach unto the sowing time, and ye shall eat your bread to the full, and dwell in your land safely. And I will give peace in the land, and ye shall lie down, and none shall make you afraid, and I will rid evil beasts out of the land, neither shall the sword go through your land, and ye shall chase your enemies. and they shall fall before you by the sword, and 5 of you shall chase 100. And 100 of you shall put 10,000 to flight, and your enemies shall fall before you by the sword. For I will have respect unto you, and make you fruitful, and multiply you, and establish my covenant with you, and ye shall eat old store, and bring forth the old because of the new. And I will set my tabernacle among you, and my soul shall not abhor you, and I will walk among you, and will be your God, and ye shall be my people. And the Apostle Paul quotes some of this in 2 Corinthians, "Wherefore come out from among them and be ye separate, saith the Lord," which is what this began to say, "and I will receive you and be a father unto you, and ye shall be my sons and daughters." Listen this morning, there are benefits to walking with God. There are benefits to being God's people. God wants to make all of his people 10 times better. It's not supposed to be an isolated case in Daniel. Turn to Deuteronomy 28. "And it shall come to pass, if thou shalt hearken diligently unto the voice of the Lord thy God, to observe and to do all his commandments, which I command thee this day, that the Lord thy God will set thee on high above all nations of the earth, and all these blessings shall come upon thee and overtake thee." It takes time. It doesn't happen overnight. Daniel didn't become 10 times better. Daniel and Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego did not become 10 times better because suddenly they showed up in Babylon. Suddenly they started to pray. Suddenly they started to read the Bible. Suddenly they started asking for God's help. That's not how it happens. We can know that when Daniel was back, his four friends, they were back in Jerusalem. We know that the environment in Jerusalem was getting more liberal, more watered down, more ungodly, more lawless all the time. That's why God finally cut them off and carried them away. And so you have these young men growing up in this society. And these young men, no doubt, were 10 times better than the average Israelite. Why? Because they were walking in God's law. God gave them this wisdom. God raised them up on high. God's blessing was upon their thinking. God's blessing was upon their physical health, which we see God preserve that in Babylon as well. God's blessing was upon their plans and their decisions and their ideas. Why? Well, that was God's plan from the beginning when he pulled them out of Egypt. He made these promises. This is Leviticus. This is Deuteronomy. Okay, so these blessings will overtake you if thou shalt hearken unto the voice of the Lord thy God. Blessed shalt thou be in the city, and blessed shalt thou be in the field. Blessed shall be the fruit of thy body, and the fruit of thy ground, and the fruit of thy cattle, the increase of thy kind, and the flocks of thy sheep. Blessed shall be thy basket and thy store. Blessed shalt thou be when thou comest in, and blessed shalt thou be when thou goest out. The Lord shall cause thine enemies that rise up against thee to be smitten before thy face. They shall come against thee one way and flee before thee 7 ways. The Lord shall command the blessing upon thee in the storehouses and in all that thou settest thine hand unto. And he shall bless thee in the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. The Lord will establish thee an holy people unto himself, as he hath sworn unto thee. If thou shalt keep the commandments of the Lord thy God and walk in his ways, and all people of the earth, listen, shall see that thou art called by the name of the Lord, and they shall be afraid of thee. They will have respect to you, and the Lord shall make thee plenteous in goods, the fruit of thy body, and the fruit of thy cattle, and the fruit of thy ground, in the land which the Lord thy God sware unto thy fathers to give thee. The Lord shall open unto thee his good treasure, the heaven to give the rain unto thy land in its season, and bless all the work of thine hand. And thou shalt lend unto many nations, and thou shalt not borrow. And the Lord shall make thee the head and not the tail. And thou shalt be above only, and shalt not be beneath, if that thou hearken unto the commandments of the Lord thy God, which I command thee this day, to observe and to do them. 10 times better comes from God's blessing. It's what God wants to do. And so you see all these blessings, a lot of them have to do with the nation in the land. But Daniel was not a nation in the land. So Daniel is carried away to Babylon, but he's still under God's blessing. He's still obeying God's law. He's still faithful to God. So in this other land, regardless of what's going on as far as Babylon not receiving the rain or their cows dying or whatever, that had nothing to do with Daniel. Daniel is still in his place, in his work, 10 times better than the pagans around him. We find in Joshua chapter 1, I'm going to read you the first 9 verses there. Now after the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord, it came to pass that the Lord spake unto Joshua, the son of Nun, Moses' minister, saying, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now therefore arise and go over this Jordan, thou and all this people, unto the land which I do give unto thee, even to the children of Israel. Every place that the sole of your foot shall tread upon, that have I given you, as I said unto Moses, from the wilderness and this Lebanon, even unto the great river, the river Euphrates. All the land of the Hittites, unto the great sea toward the going down of the sun, shall be your coast. There shall not any man be able to stand before thee all the days of thy life. As I was with Moses, so I will be with thee. I will not fail thee, nor forsake thee. Be strong and of good courage. For unto this people shalt thou divide for an inheritance the land which I swear unto their fathers to give them. Only be thou strong and very courageous, that thou mayest observe to do according to all the law which Moses my servant commanded thee. Turn not from it to the right hand or to the left, that thou mayest prosper, that thou mayest prosper, that thou mayest prosper whithersoever thou goest. This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success. Have not I commanded thee? Be strong and of good courage. Be not afraid, neither be thou dismayed, for the Lord thy God is with thee whithersoever thou goest. Does that still apply to us today? It applied to Leviticus, he promised it. Deuteronomy, he promised it. We find that Joshua and Moses experienced it. We find all the way down to Daniel, carried away to Babylon. Israel's wicked. Israel doesn't get the blessing. Israel has forfeited the blessing. But Daniel's obeying God, and Daniel has the blessing in a foreign land. So does it apply to us? You say, Brother Mark, I'm not in Israel. Daniel wasn't either. But I'm just an individual, so is Daniel. Why would it apply to Daniel and not you? What did it take to get those people into the promised land? Joshua had to be 10 times better than the giants and the people in the promised land. We find that David was a man after God's own heart. And when David went out to face the Philistine, David said to the Philistine, thou comest to me with a sword, with a spear, and with a shield, but I come to thee in the name of the Lord of hosts, the God of the armies of Israel, whom thou hast defied. David was 10 times better than the other Israelite soldiers. 2 Samuel 8, 6, and the Lord preserved David whithersoever he went. 2 Samuel 8, 14, and the Lord preserved David whithersoever he went. David had to excel to make a difference in his world. He could not be an average Israelite. He could not be a run-of-the-mill Israelite. He could not be just a Joe Israelite. If David was going to make a difference, he had to be 10 times better. He had to have something special from God to kill that lion, to kill that bear. But he could not just excel as being a shepherd. God wanted this power that was upon him. God wanted the blessing that it was upon him to be seen by the world, be seen by the nations. There he is on the battlefield, showing up the whole military, taking out Goliath with a sling and a stone. You say, wow, that's really something. That was 10 times better. Yeah, it was. How did that happen? Was that just an isolated case? Does God want that to be a normal situation? Does God want all of his people to be that way? That's what he said in his law. That's what he promised. Joseph was just a young man. His master, after he's carried away to Egypt, before Leviticus and Deuteronomy were even written, Joseph was a faithful young man. It says here that his master saw that the Lord was with him. It wasn't Joseph just his own imagination. The Lord is with me. I'm 10 times better than everybody. No. The master saw it. The Lord was with him, and the Lord made all that he did to prosper in his hand. Genesis 39:3. And then in Genesis 39:23, after he's falsely accused and thrown in prison, now he's a prisoner. Well, where's the blessing of God? The keeper of the prison looked not to anything that was under his hand, because the Lord was with him, and that which he did, the Lord, Jehovah, made it to prosper. He's in Egypt. The Egyptians don't worship Jehovah. They don't worship Yahweh, however you want to pronounce the Tetragrammaton. So the master and the keeper of the prison saw that Yahweh made it to prosper. Joseph is demonstrating God's ways. How are we going to convince the world that we worship the true God? How are we going to convince the world that God's way is the smart way if they don't see it making us 10 times better in our life? We find that Job, there was a man in the land of Uz whose name was Job, and that man was perfect and upright, one that feared God and eschewed evil. And it goes on to tell about it, and it goes says that he was the greatest of all the men of the East. Well, it tells why. He feared God and eschewed evil. He was perfect and upright before God. And the Lord said unto Satan, when Satan came there, hast thou considered my servant Job, that there is none like him in all the earth, a perfect and upright man, one that feareth God and escheweth evil? Then Satan answered the Lord and said, doth Job fear God for naught? I want to tell you this morning, nobody fears God for naught. Nobody fears God for naught. When you fear God and you obey God's word and you keep his law and you stay within his boundaries, he is going to lift you up on high. He's going to make you 10 times better than the devil's crowd. He's promised to do so. Devil went on to say, hast thou not made a hedge about him? Yep, that's what happens when you fear God, and about his house and about all that he hath on every side. Thou hast blessed the work of his hands, and his substance is increased in the land. The devil knew why. Job was 10 times better. Why? Because of God. Because he obeyed God and God blessed Job. Nobody fears God for naught. But without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. You believe that this morning? Do you believe that this morning? Do you believe that no one fears God for naught? Do you believe that those who know the truth can be 10 times better than those who believe error? Do you believe that God's people can be 10 times better than the devil's crowd? We need some 10 times better daddies and 10 times better mamas, and we need some 10 times better young people, or we're not going to make an impact on this world. You're not floating downstream. If you're going to stay with the Lord, if you're going to walk in the light, if you're going to keep his commandments, if you're going to be his people, you are swimming upstream. Do you know that salmon that has to swim all the way back up the rapids and the falls and get back up? He's swimming upstream. That salmon has to swim 10 times better than the fish going downstream. It's a lot easier to go over the falls this way than to go over the falls this way. We're swimming upstream, folks. We have an incredible job to do. When John the Baptist showed up on the scene, he was the forerunner. He was supposed to call the people to repentance, call the nation to repentance because the Messiah is coming. That was an incredible job. But God made John the Baptist such a fervent, fireball, enthusiastic, powerful preacher that he had people storming the kingdom of God. They were taking it by storm. They had people, multitudes repenting, multitudes getting baptized. You say, wow. The Pharisees were saying, well, we can't get them to repent. And the scribes were saying, wow, they don't do that for us. Why? John was 10 times better than all of them put together. Why? Because John was in line with God's word. John had God's Spirit. When the Spirit of God came upon Samson, he was 10 times stronger. When the Spirit of God came upon Solomon, he was 10 times wiser. When the Spirit of God came upon David, he could fight 10 times better. What am I saying this morning? Our expectations are too low. Do we really want to impact our society? Do you really want your children all going to make it to heaven? Do you really want your relatives to see that you're the people of God? Do you want the society to know that we're the people of God? We cannot afford to be having the same problems, the same failures, the same living on the same level as the devil's world. God is shamed by that. It's not his will. One is living a life of faith, is fighting the devil. You have to be 10 times better to fight the devil and go upstream than to surrender and go downstream, right? The devil's not fighting his crowd. They're going his way. The devil's not fighting the liberals and the ungodly out there. They're those in error, those teaching a false doctrine. The devil's not fighting them. He's fighting those who are trying to stand for the faith once delivered to the saints. So if you're going to stand, if you're going to overcome, if you're going to make it while you're fighting the devil, you need to be 10 times better than the person who's not fighting the devil, right? Where does that come from? Oh, well, yeah, Daniel, he was quite a guy. Was that supposed to be a special case? John the Baptist had a colossal assignment. God raised him up on high to meet his assignment. God made John equal to the task. God made David equal to the task. God made Job equal to the task. God made Joseph equal to the task. God made Daniel equal to the task. Don't you think God can make you, mama, daddy, young person, young man, young lady, can God make you equal to the task? God has promised that his people would be, should be, can be overcomers. We have no excuse for failure. We have an incredible job to do. I am not content to enjoy knowing the truth while the antinomians, the Calvinists, the Marcionites, and the other isms are dominating Christendom. Do you understand what a task we have? Can God, you know, before I come up to the pulpit, before I come to preach, when I have an opportunity to teach through the book of Matthew or teach through the book of Ephesians, I've told God more times than I can count, Lord, I can't afford to be average. I can't afford to be mediocre. I can't afford to be, I can't allow the heretics to be a better preacher than I am. I've got to be 10 times better than the false prophet. I've got to be 10 times better than the liar. I've got to be 10 times better, or we're not going to make it. We're not going to get the job done. Amen. And I pray, Lord, help me not to be average. I need to communicate better than the liberals. I need to be more persuasive than the devil's preachers. In Isaiah 58:1, God said to the prophet, "Cry aloud, spare not, lift up thy voice like a trumpet and show my people their transgressions." Where's your passion at? What do you get excited about? When Daniel went to Babylon, can you imagine the intimidation factor? Him and his four friends being carried to Babylon in chains. Their temple, their city, their God, supposedly, according to the Chaldeans, has been conquered. Daniel knows in his heart why. He heard Jeremiah preaching. He saw the prophets preaching. He knows why they're carried to Babylon. He knows that God said, "We're going to take you to Babylon, and it's going to be 70 years. And then we're going to bring back a remnant." Daniel was in tune with God. He could have been greatly discouraged. He could have had hopes of getting married and having children, having grandkids. He could have had his eye on a farm or a house. He's carried off to Babylon. But one thing Daniel did, and Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, they were faithful to God's law. And that was the key. That was all it took. God had already told them, I'm going to raise you up. I'm going to bless you. I'll have 500 on the battlefield. And you'll find out in Psalms, David gives a testimony in Psalm 18. Turn to Psalm 18. Say, boy, David was quite a fighter, wasn't he? David knew why. David knew why. Psalm 18, I will love thee, O Lord, my strength. The Lord is my rock, my fortress, my deliverer. Okay, let you think about this a minute. What if there were roving bands, vigilante soldiers around the Missouri Hills? There was no police, no National Guard, no government, and we all had a sword and a spear, and they were coming for our families. They were going to take our wives and children. How would you feel about that? I don't know how good I could fight. I would rather have an AR-15, but they didn't have those. Okay, I want you to understand what's going on here. The Lord is my rock and my fortress, my deliverer, my God, my strength, in whom I will trust, my buckler and the horn of my salvation and my high tower. I will call upon the Lord who is worthy to be praised. So shall I be saved from mine enemies. The sorrows of death compassed me, and the floods of the ungodly men made me afraid. The sorrows of hell compassed me about. The snares of death prevented me. In my distress I called upon the Lord and cried unto my God. He heard my voice out of his temple, and my cry came before him, even into his ears. Then the earth shook and trembled, and the foundations of the hills moved and were shaken, because he was wroth. There went up a smoke out of his nostrils, and fire out of his mouth devoured. Coals were kindled by it. He bowed the heavens also and came down, and darkness was under his feet. And he rode upon the cherub and did fly. Yea, he did fly upon the wings of the wind. He made darkness his secret place. His pavilion round about him were dark waters and thick clouds of the sky. Obviously, God brought an incredible thunderstorm and helped David win the battle. At the brightness that was before him, his thick clouds passed, hailstones and coals of fire. The Lord also thundered in the heavens, and the highest gave his voice, hailstones and coals of fire. Yea, he sent out his arrows and scattered them, and he shot out lightnings and discomfited them. Then the channels of waters were seen, and the foundations of the world were discovered at thy rebuke, O Lord, at the blast of thy the breath of thy nostrils. He sent from above, he took me, he drew me out of many waters, he delivered me from my strong enemy, and from them which hated me, for they were too strong for me. They prevented me in the day of my calamity, but the Lord was my stay. He brought me forth also into a large place. He delivered me because he delighted in me. The Lord, listen. The Lord rewarded me according to my righteousness, according to the cleanness of my hands hath he recompensed me. For I have kept the ways of the Lord and have not wickedly departed from my God. For all his judgments were before me, and I did not put away his statutes from me. I was also upright before him and kept myself from mine iniquity. Therefore hath the Lord recompensed me according to my righteousness, according to the cleanness of my hands in his sight. With the merciful thou wilt show thyself merciful. With an upright man thou wilt show thyself upright. With the pure thou wilt show thyself pure. And with the froward thou wilt show thyself froward. For thou wilt save the afflicted people, but will bring down high looks. For thou wilt light my candle. The Lord my God will enlighten my darkness. For by thee have I run through a troop, and by my God have I leaped over a wall. As for God, his way is perfect. The word of the Lord is tried. He is a buckler to all those that trust in him. For who is God save the Lord, and who is a rock save our God? It is God that girdeth me with strength and maketh my way perfect. He maketh my feet like hinds' feet and setteth me upon my high places. He teacheth my hands to war, so that a bow of steel is broken by mine arms. Thou hast also given me the shield of thy strength, and the right hand hath holden me up, and thy gentleness hath made me great. Thou hast enlarged my steps under me, that my feet did not slip. Okay, we're in a battle in a big thunderstorm. There's water everywhere. There's flooding going on. There's hailstones. He said, my feet never slipped. I could run like a deer. I could fight like a Superman. Okay? God made him 10 times better. I have pursued mine enemies, verse 37, and overtaken them. Neither did I turn again till they were consumed. I have wounded them that were not able, so that they were not able to rise. They are fallen under my feet. For thou hast girded me with strength unto the battle. Thou hast subdued unto me those that rose up against me. Thou hast also given me the necks of mine enemies, that I might destroy them that hate me. They cried, but there was none to save them, even unto the Lord, but he answered them not. Then did I beat them small as the dust before the wind. I did cast them out as dirt in the street. Thou hast delivered me from the strivings of the people, and thou hast made me the head of the heathen. A people whom I have not known shall serve me. As soon as they hear of me, they will obey me. The strangers shall submit themselves unto me. The strangers shall fade away and be afraid out of their closed places. The Lord liveth, and blessed be my rock, and let the God of my salvation be exalted. It is God that avengeth me and subdueth the people under me. He delivered me from mine enemies. Yea, thou liftest me up above those that rise up against me. Thou hast delivered me from the violent man. Therefore will I give thanks unto thee, O Lord, among the heathen, and sing praises unto thy name. Great deliverance giveth he to his king, and showeth mercy to his anointed, to David, and to his seed forevermore. Why is this psalm in the Bible? God just wants us to see what he did for somebody else. Have you any battles to fight? You're not a king and you're not fighting with a sword. Have you any battles to fight? Do you have any enemies? What are you going to do when wicked America is conquered and maybe you're carried away to a pagan land? What are you going to do? I can tell you what you can do. You can be 10 times better. You can be 10 times better than any other young man over there. You can be 10 times better than any other young lady over there. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful, but his delight is in the law of the Lord. And in his law doth he meditate day and night. And he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that bringeth forth its fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. The ungodly are not so. The ungodly are not so, but as the chaff which the wind driveth away. Therefore the ungodly shall not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous. For the Lord knoweth the way of the righteous, but the way of the ungodly shall perish. You want to hear Paul's testimony? You think all this is just for people in the Bible? Does God want you, when you obey his law, does he want to raise you up and bring glory to you so the world will look on and say, that's God's people. Look what happens when you obey God. Look what happens. Well, look what God does to a family when they obey God. Look what God does to children when the family obeys God. Look what God does to a marriage when they obey God. You want the world to look on and see that obeying God is big. And God blesses those who obey him. I'm not just talking about financial prosperity. There are riches beyond that. Paul said in writing to the Corinthians, but in all things approving ourselves as the ministers of God, in much patience, in afflictions, in necessities, in distresses, in stripes, in imprisonments, in tumults, in labors, in watchings, in fastings, by pureness, by knowledge, by longsuffering, by kindness, by the Holy Ghost, by love unfeigned, by the word of truth, by the power of God, by the armor of righteousness on the right hand and on the left, by honor and dishonor, by evil report and good report, as deceivers and yet true, as unknown and yet well known, as dying and behold we live, as chastened and not killed, as sorrowful yet always rejoicing, as poor yet making many rich, as having nothing and yet possessing all things. In other words, Paul was showing that a true minister of God is 10 times better than those fakes at Corinth. Paul was accused of turning the world upside down. The worshipers of Diana were afraid. Why? This one little guy is destroying our whole business. I mean, Diana's been established here for a long time. How is this little guy going to overthrow it because he's 10 times better? What he's saying is 10 times better. He's 10 times smarter. He's 10 times more in his communication. He's convincing people the power of God is upon him. That's why. Living Faith Christian Fellowship, we're not going to make a dent unless we tap into this and have 10 times better church, 10 times better Sunday school, 10 times better young people, 10 times better families, a 10 times better church service, a 10 times better camp. You understand what I'm saying? Does God want those who are standing for truth to be 10 times better than those standing for error? Yes or no? Does God want those who are obeying his law to be 10 times better than the devil's crowd? Yes or no? You say, Brother Mark, oh, that's a tall order. I don't think I can do that. Have you been listening to me? It's God that does it when you obey him, when you embrace him, when you love his word, when you delight in his word, when you meditate in his word, when you absorb his word, when you embrace his word. God says, I will lift you up. I will make your family 10 times better. I will make your marriage 10 times better. Die to yourself. Quit sticking up for yourself. Quit defending yourself. Get in line with God. Humble yourself before him. Break before him. Embrace his word. Claim his promises. There's nothing God can't fix in your life, in your relationships. God wants you to demonstrate 10 times better life to the world. Do you think he deserves that? Do you think our captain deserves that from his people? I do. So I want to ask you this morning, if you are saying, Brother Mark, I hear you. Brother Mark, I'm with you. Brother Mark, I'm not content either to let the heretics dominate the field. I'm not content to just be nobodies and say, well, we got the truth, and this is, we can show you why that's wrong. We can show you why that's wrong, and we're over here just enjoying the truth. Brother Mark, I want to make an impact. Brother Mark, I want to claim this blessing of God that he intended for his people to endorse his ways, his name, and catch their attention. Brother Mark, I'm going to join you in saying that's what I want. And crying out to God, make us 10 times better. Lord, help us to tap into that resource so that we can impact our world for you. I want you to stand if that's your voice right now. Somehow we've got to communicate better than the devil's communicating. Somehow we've got to be more convincing than the devil's crowd, the error crowd, the false doctrine, the isms and the Gnostics. It's going to take everything in us plus the power of God. You think David ran through that troop? You think God just picked him up and ran him through? David was fighting with every fiber of his being. God made him clear the wall. God made him make it through the troop. God made him have the strength to subdue that enemy. But David was fighting and calling out to God and crying out to God, and he was giving it everything he physically could. Daniel was studying. Joshua was fighting. Joseph was planning. Joseph was thinking. What made it better? God. But they weren't sitting on their can. They weren't just saying, well, this is just me. I'm just not going to get excited. I'm just not going to get fervent. I'm not going to try to accomplish anything. I'm not going to have any vision. I'm not going to have any dream. I'm not going to cry out in prayer. I'm not going to fight. Let God do what he will. You know, the Hezekiah thing. You know, good is the word of the Lord. Whatever he says. Your grandchildren are depending on you. Your great-grandchildren are depending on you. We've got to make an impact on our world. It doesn't mean we're going to turn America around. Daniel didn't turn Jerusalem around. Jeremiah didn't turn Israel around. But God empowered them to fill the role he wanted them to fill 10 times better than those around them. And that's all he's asking of you. He's telling you, young lady and young man and adult, that if you will tune into me, if you will meditate in my word, if you will seek my face, if you will do what I have told you here, then I will always do my part. That's what God says. But he's waiting for us to do our part, isn't he? Heavenly Father, as we stand before you, we cannot impact this world in our own strength. We can see clearly where they're wrong, where the doctrine's wrong, where the life is wrong, where they're deceived by the devil. We can see that all around us. Father, we want to be your Daniel. We want to be your Joseph. We want to be your David. We want to be your John the Baptist. We want to be your Joshua. We want to be your Job. We want to be in our society the one upon whom you can pour your blessing. Make us 10 times better than the pagan, than the deceived, than the devil's crowd. Oh, Father, shame on us if we have all the same marital problems and all the same family problems and all the same financial problems as the world does. Father, help us to run through a troop and leap over the wall. To have feet like hinds' feet. To fight like no one they'd ever seen before. They would look and see, and so those are God's people. They have God's blessing. God makes their way to prosper. With heads bowed and eyes closed, no one looking around. I'm going to ask Titus if he'd come up and just lead us in a hymn, Have Thine Own Way, I Surrender All, something that he can find. And I want to invite you this morning. I believe that this message was a special message God laid on my heart. I believe that he wants us to act upon it. I believe he wants us to commit to it. There may be things you need to confess. Get it out of the way. What is keeping the power of God off your life? What is keeping you from being 10 times better? As Titus begins to sing, I want to invite you to come forward, to kneel and lay it on the altar, or kneel in your pew there if there's not room. Kneel where you're at. Lift your heart to God and say, Lord, I get it. I understand. I want it too. I want Living Faith Christian Fellowship to be 10 times better than all the liberal, confused, deceived, and heretic churches. I want our people to live a higher level and have a godlier testimony. As Titus begins to sing, let's respond to the Lord, whatever God has spoken to your heart.
I am the
your marriage already 10 times better.
Have thine own way.
Your family got no problems.
Have thine
already 10
own
times better.
Way. Search me.
Cry out to God.
Try me.
Tell him, Lord, we know you can do it. You can make us 10 times better. You can give us overcoming in all these areas.
No,
God's people have no excuse for any failures in our lives.
Just now.
We need God's power. We need to make an impact. I know this is not the usual Sunday morning. Lord, you began impressing this on my heart. Oh, Father, we know our time is short. We can't afford to be average. Many times we don't even know what to do to impact. Daniel may have felt that same way. He let you set the stage. You set the stage for Joseph. You're the one that planned out David's triumph. They just had to have their heart in tune with you. Lord, we don't know what's ahead. We want to have the groundwork done. We want to be vessels, meat for the Master's use. Show us how we can throw off old man things and put on new man things like the Bible commands us. So that when it's time for testing, when the trial comes, when the attack comes, we will prove to be 10 times better than the opposition. Father, pour your blessing upon these tender hearts, these praying hearts, the humble hearts. Raise us up some preachers. Raise us up some families. They will truly have your blessing upon them. They can ride high over the enemy. They can overcome. They can shine. Help us to live in victory 10 times better than the pagan, the deceived, the devil's crowd. Father, we thank you. We thank you for your word. It's all over your word. It's a theme all the way through. You promise this to every individual who seeks your face and meditates in your word. Forgive us, Lord, where we have not expected it, not pursued it, not believed it. Oh, Father, we've got young people here who are going to be seeking marriage. Some of them are seeking marriage and praying for their future mates. Lord, what a beautiful thing if everyone in the church is striving to be 10 times better for your glory. Seeking your power, your blessing, your spirit upon them. Father, help us to be agents for the demonstration of your incredible wisdom, your love, your rightness, your appropriateness. Help us to hate our sin. Help us, Lord, to rise higher, to be what we ought to be. We
We ask this, Lord, in Jesus' precious name. I expect Jesse to come ahead and we'll have communion. Yes, go ahead.